Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna for the Calgary Sport and Social Club. Try a new sport this spring and join a league or tournament. Register at calgarysportsclub.com.
It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
So we paid for it weather-wise in February with one of the coldest Februarys on record here in Calgary.
Yeah.
As did a lot of the country, I think.
Most of the country, yeah.
Experienced some cold weather. And now it's unreal here. Supposed to be 16 today, 18 tomorrow. Average high for this time of year is plus 4.
I need to find a pool.
It's a little too early for a pool.
You know, I know you're saying that, but I was sitting out on the patio yesterday and the sun was actually hot enough. There wasn't any wind and I was like, I want to go swimming right now. Like,
comparatively, yeah, compared to how it has been, it feels pretty warm.
It really does.
Like actually hot.
I know.
I do understand that it will probably get cold again here,
yep.
And we will probably get a little more snow. It is only March.
Isn't April the snowiest month in Calgary?
People always say that. I've never seen any data to back that up. Is March is the snowiest month?
Oh, is it March? Yeah.
I don't see how it could be worse than February.
February was friggin' cold, too.
We got snow in February, too, though, didn't we? Yeah. I shoveled quite a few times.
Yeah, we did.
Either way, I will take every single day at these temperatures.
Yeah.
Keep them coming.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I have now heard of 3 different Alberta towns being referred to as Little Las Vegas or Vegas of the North.
Which 3 towns?
So Bonnyville, my friend just got back from a work trip and she said people call it Bon Vegas. Okay. Then there's Fox Creek, Alberta. All right. And they call themselves Fox Vegas. And High Level Alberta, which refers to themselves as Vegas of the North.
So Is this the town referring to themselves that way, or is it kind of like a tongue-in-cheek sort of thing?
Well,
like,
I'm not overly sure, but I like that we have affectionate nicknames for our towns, but you need to be careful here, okay? Because if tourists from other places all of a sudden catch word of the Vegas of the North, they may get very...
They end up in Fox Creek? What the hell?
This is not
We've been had! The Vegas of the North!
Your next vacation destination, fabulous Fox Vegas, Fox Creek, Alberta.
It's Vegas without the crowds.
Or the lights, or the glitz and glamour.
It's Vegas without anything. It's Vegas, but it was still a desert, let's be honest.
It has none of that. There are
Vegas.
4 VLTs in the bar. You can play those. There's an off sale.
Yeah, and it's not 24 hours like Vegas, but you can knock on room 204 and Terry will be sure to hook you up with a pilsner.
He keeps a warm Cuba pill in there and he's pretty generous.
Normally
if
drunk.
If you're willing to listen to his problems. And do we have ladies? Kind of.
Pretty sure you can still dart in the room too, so.
It's the worst bachelor party you'll ever go on. And we don't recommend that bachelorette parties come here. Go somewhere else. It's not safe.
It's not safe. Terry's thirsty. I don't mean for beer.
Fabulous Fox Vegas, Alberta.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was browsing through the old TV guide yesterday, and I came across a movie about Marco Polo. And I was thinking about that guy and his legacy. Because you think about him, like he traveled all over the world. Like he was one of the first of his people to go to some of these places. And he wrote books that inspired Christopher Columbus. And, like, he hung out with Genghis Khan's grandson.
Yeah.
And how do we remember him? As a game kids play in the pool when they're staying at a hotel that doesn't have a water slide.
100%.
Which has, like, literally nothing to do with him.
I've played a lot of Marco Polo in my day, okay? A lot.
Like, imagine trying to explain that to him. It's like, you're a great man in your time. This is not how we're going to remember you, though. It's going to be like this.
Marco!
Polo. Like, it makes no sense, does it? And I think that illustrates two things about life and legacy. The first is that history remembers very, very few people, right? You think about how important he was at the time, and now, like, most people don't really know about him.
No.
I even think about past presidents. Like, you can probably name the first few presidents and then the most recent ones. And then there's about 150 years in the middle where
yep.
I could start reading names to you and you wouldn't have any idea, right?
No, that happens all the time. I'll talk about this president. I'm like, oh, I should know that one, but I don't.
Or like popes who were the most powerful person in the world when they were... was it on the throne? I don't know, but when they were ruling.
Yeah.
And now we have no idea who they are.
Not a clue.
So to think that like 200-300 years from now, the names Barack Obama or Donald Trump or George Bush might not mean anything to people is very weird, isn't it?
Really weird.
Very weird. And the second thing I think it illustrates is that if you are remembered, it might be for something that had nothing to do with your life and work, like Marco Polo.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think of other people who that's the case for. Like, I mean, the most recent example probably would be Burt Reynolds. Most people know him for the shot.
Which has
the Burt Reynolds shot.
Nothing to do with him.
Zero to do with him. Just a good old shot that, you know, nice and light that people can shoot.
It's like even when he died, everyone was like, R.I.P. Burt Reynolds, and like doing the shot that had nothing to do with him or his work. Right?
I wanted to interview people who were doing the shot and be like, what do you know about Burt Reynolds?
Aside from the shot and the mustache.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know anything else about the man?
Yeah. I'm guaranteeing a lot of people will be like, nope.
That's a good example, too, because it's likely that the shot is going to survive longer than, you know, than his legacy as an actor. Because,
yeah.
You know, even people our age probably can't name a ton of Burt Reynolds' work.
I know.
But they know the shot.
Yep.
I was thinking of Laura Secord.
For the chocolates.
She's known for her chocolates, which weren't her chocolates. Nope. She had nothing to do with that company.
Right.
Not for her heroism in the War of 1812.
Yeah.
This is another example, and maybe not as prominent as the last two, but Mekhi Phifer says that he is more famous for being name-dropped in an Eminem song than for any acting that he ever did.
Yeah. And I think that's the case for a lot of people as well. If you get name-dropped by a super famous singer... That's probably why people know you.
Definitely.
More so than anything else.
So, like, you could accomplish great things in your life, and 500 years from now, someone might decide to name a sandwich after you, and you will be known as the sandwich, and not the things that you did.
At least you've got that.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I just got an email from Roxy, and they have a new festival fashion line.
Like for music festivals?
For music festivals. It says, click here to buy the new festival fashion line, and you go, and it's just... It's all the stuff that you'd see at a music festival. The oversized hats, the big flowy pants.
I was going to say, what is festival wear?
That kind of stuff. Flowy, light, summer dresses, all that kind of thing, you know?
Okay.
Things that, you know, you're nice and cool when you're out in a festival. But we've talked about this so many times before. How festivals are becoming more about what you're wearing and the fashion and being seen and the photos on Instagram than anything else,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely. I've been arguing this for years that I think a lot of people that go to these big festivals now don't care at all about the music or who's playing. It's a see and be seen type event.
Absolutely.
Get some good social media posts out of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this just verifies it.
And that's why, like, festivals can book whatever EDM DJ or, like... flavor of the month rapper they want, and yeah. It doesn't really matter because the music isn't the main reason they're going.
Which is so crazy to me, and I don't know when that shift started happening. I guess when big celebrities and stuff started showing up, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Because then people were, you know, who follow those celebrities want to go because of that, they want to see them, and it's just a different type of thing than just going to see the music and enjoying that.
And I think you can even see that in how festival lineups have changed, how like the types of music that you'll see at a festival are so diverse. Mm-hmm. Not that that's a bad thing.
No.
But you know, it used to be like you went to a metal festival, right? Yeah. And that was, or you went to an EDM festival, and that was. And now it's like it's kind of a mash of everything because
you're right.
It's just like people are just there to get their Instagram shot. And
man, I was trying to think of other things that would be in this as well that would be useful, like pouches for your drugs, like maybe hula hoop holders, that type of thing as well. Clothing made of barf resistant material. I have a $1 million idea actually, and this one I think would be the best.
Okay,
pants with a blow up pillow on your ass. So think about it. You know when you go to a festival and you have to carry a chair with you,
yeah.
Right? Because you want to sit down somewhere down the way, and so you find a place to put your chair. What about pants that you just pull a ripcord or something, and it blows up a pillow under you, and you just plop down, and there you go.
Because people carry those like those kind of bag hammock things, you know, where you like you get the wind in them, and then you tie it off, and you can sit in those. Those are pretty cool.
Those are cool.
But you're thinking that you want that in the seat of your pants. What about just the whole pants? Like if the whole pants kind of blew up like that?
Yes.
You just walk up to you find your spot in the crowd, and this looks good right here. you just drop back into it. All right. Bring on Post Malone or whoever's headlining this thing this year. I don't really care.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
It kind of surprises me that in the midst of R. Kelly's assault charges, nobody is bringing up his greatest work ever. The magnum opus of Robert Kelly's career, if you will.
What?
Well, you know, like even
Ignition?
No, see, Ignition, those are the songs that everybody knows, right? Even non-R&B fans, they know Ignition. They know, I Believe I Can Fly from the Space Jam soundtrack.
For sure.
Yep. Even like songs like World's Greatest. But I haven't heard anybody talking about Trapped in the Closet.
What's Trapped in the Closet?
Trapped in the Closet was R. Kelly's R&B opera.
It
spans 30. Yeah, it's an R&B opera. It spans 33 chapters, 91 minutes. It was written over 7 years. A masterpiece, Shauna. A masterpiece.
I had no idea that R. Kelly had an R&B opera.
He does. It's called Trapped in the Closet.
Oh, my God. Trapped in the... Why is it called...
Well, it tells the story of an affair that's happening.
Oh.
And how it kind of spirals out of control. And over the course of these 33 chapters, 7 years, it introduces like 24 different characters into the mix who are all kind of intertwined. And it's just... R. Kelly, like, singing everything that happens throughout the story.
Next thing you know, a call comes through on my cell phone. I tried my best to quickly put it on vibrate. But from the way he acted, I could tell it was too late.
What is happening?
He hopped up and said, there's a mystery going on and I'm gonna solve it. And I'm like, God, please don't let this man open his closet. He walks in the bathroom.
What?
And it goes on like that.
How?
For 91 minutes.
What?
For 91 minutes.
What?
And there are cliffhangers at the end of each chapter, and they're good. They're good cliffhangers. You're like, I kind of got to find out what happens when he opens up the closet. So you find yourself listening to chapter 2.
What a weird man. What a weird thing to do. Like,
I remember growing up, they used to air it on Much Music.
Really?
But I don't remember it being in chronological order. So you tune in and like chapter 8 would come on. And you're like, okay, I don't know.
And then the cliffhanger comes. You're like, these characters are? Who is chapter 9?
Rufus and Chuck and Kathy? Like, Who are these people and what is their relationship? And then, it would leave you on a cliffhanger.
I somehow missed. This is a black hole in my life, clearly.
You know, I actually had this in my notes for this show from years ago that I wanted to talk about R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. And that was before all this stuff happened with the documentary and his charges and his freak out with Gayle King and everything. So I just thought this was as good a time as any to bring up Trapped in the Closet.
I could have gone without knowing about Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah,
but
you just wait. You're going to find yourself on YouTube tonight.
For lightning.
I wonder what happens here.
Oh my God.
What happens when he opens the closet?
91 minutes later.
You know, it looks like R. Kelly's going down, but at least he left us this.
Oh.
The VNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Got a message from Sarah. And Sarah and I went back and forth a few times, and I think we came to a respectful understanding. But I'll read her message here for you because I'm sure she's not the only person who felt this way after listening to that. She said, was really disappointed to sit and listen to Beckler praise R. Kelly for his music with all of the information out there about his abuse and assault to underage girls. If I was a victim and I heard my abuser being talked about in such a positive manner, I'd feel pretty silenced and awful. Just my opinion. So in case it wasn't entirely clear, I do not support R. Kelly.
No.
He is a monster, and if the allegations against him are true, which I believe they are, he deserves to sit in jail for the rest of his life. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But his music is good.
Well, yeah, like, Ignition was a banger, but that whole bit we just did, we were making fun of him.
We don't actually like Trapped in the Closet.
Like, I think it's awful.
terrible.
I tried to express how awful I think it is also, but yes, we are definitely not supporters of Robert Kelly.
No, but I'm also not going to pretend like he didn't make some awesome music. Mm-hmm. It's the same with Michael Jackson. We talked about this. All these radio stations pulling his music. Yeah. Some of the best music ever written. Like, I'm a strong believer in separating art from the artist, as we've said before on this show. Just because I praise R. Kelly's music doesn't mean I praise the terrible things that he's done.
No.
And the other thing that bothers me about this is that we have known for a long time that R. Kelly was not a good person. 2002 was when that tape came out of him peeing on underage girls and when he got charged with child pornography. How many people have been in the club, drunk, dancing to Ignition since 2002? Knowing full well that R. Kelly's not a good person. How many people have walked across the stage at graduation to World's Greatest? when they knew that he peed on underage girls.
Although I didn't know that till way later.
You didn't?
No.
Might have been too young.
I think I was.
What, 13, 14 when that happened?
Yeah, like I remember Ignition. I think my sister like used to listen to that song, but I never really knew what he'd done. I didn't know all that about him until more recently. So maybe that's also a thing, is people didn't realize that at the time. That being said, he did make a banger of a hit, Ignition.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Shake off the winter rust by joining the Calgary Sport and Social Club. With a large variety of sport leagues and tournaments, including slow pitch and beach volleyball, you'll meet some new people and have a blast staying active. Registration for yourself, your small group, or full team is now open. And the earlier you sign up, the more you save. Register at calgarysportsclub.com.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
The Blue Jays just announced that they're upping their minor league pay by more than 50%. So I guess some minor leaguers in the U.S. were making as little as $1,100 a month.
Ooh.
And so they've decided they're trying to make it a little more livable for these guys.
That's good. These ball teams have so much money, and they pay their stars so much. Like,
yeah.
Throw a few extra bucks to the guys in the minors. The minor league grinders.
Yes.
Which is one of our favorite Instagram accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It just documents like the living conditions of minor league ball players.
Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, it is the funniest thing.
Yeah. Guys sleeping on like pool rafts in the shower and stuff.
There was a rental vehicle that I saw recently, and that someone had stolen the tires off of the vehicle itself and just left it there.
Like one of the ball players did?
Yeah. Just, it was gone like that. That's the type of stuff that goes on. I was thinking though, I'm sure Buck and Pat would have something to say about this as well.
Oh yeah. And sometimes Buck and Pat, the Blue Jays broadcasters, Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler, sometimes they say some weird things.
Yeah, sometimes things go just like a little weird, you know?
Yeah, they get talking about the guys' bodies and stuff. And
like, what are you talking about?
It's a beautiful night at the ballpark where these talented minor league ball players will take to the field for the first time under their new salary structure.
Up until now, the players are making as little as $1,100 a month, sometimes sleeping five to a room.
Showering together to save on water bills. Soaping each other's athletic bodies. Lathering, scrubbing, and rinsing.
Tell me again, Buck. Why do we give these players a raise?
I don't know. Just a reminder that Tuesday night is kids' night at the ballpark. First 200 youngsters through the turnstiles will get to run the bases.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
My wife McKenna told me this crazy story yesterday, and I'm going to try to relay it to you, and I'm going to try to maybe clean it up a little because it's going to need it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this happened to the friend of a girl that she works with, and this girl has been seeing this guy. They've been on 6 or 7 dates or so. Everything's going really well, and he invites her over to his apartment for dinner. So this is going to be her first time going to his apartment. So she goes, and the date's going well, but something about the meal isn't sitting right with her, and her stomach is kind of rumbling, and she doesn't feel well.
Oh, no.
So she asks to use the bathroom, and he says, yeah, it's right down there. And she goes down the hall and tries the handle, but the bathroom door is locked. She's like, oh, that's very weird.
That's creepy.
So she comes up and says, yeah, the bathroom door is locked. And he's like, oh, well, there's a key. So he kind of slowly goes and gets the key, and she's like, kind of got to hurry up here. Like, I really have to go. And he's kind of fumbling in the lock with the key, almost deliberately, like taking his time. And she's like, this is weird. And she just gets in the bathroom and shuts the door, and she doesn't make it. She has an accident, and she's got poop on herself.
Oh,
and her
my
clothes and her legs.
God.
So she's like, well, now what do I do? I'm stuck in this guy's bathroom and my clothes are all dirty. So she has no choice but to basically tell him. And he's like, okay, well, I'll wash your clothes and you can have a shower and clean up. And so she gets in the shower, and then when she's finished her shower, she gets out and realizes that there are no towels or anything in the bathroom. And she doesn't have her clothes, so she's just kind of standing there naked, and she's, what do I do now? So she goes out into the apartment to kind of look for him, and when she comes into his room, he's laying on the bed in her clothes, in her soiled clothes.
Okay.
So she runs out of the apartment and goes and knocks on a neighbor's door. And they call the police because they figure that this guy must have like put a laxative in her drink or in the food or something.
Oh, my God. This can't be a real story.
This is exactly how she told it to me and exactly how it was told to her. But it is one of those like friend of a friend things.
Oh, my God.
And apparently when the police came, they said there was nothing that they could do. Like there's no charge for that.
He's like, oh,
yeah.
God.
So this was all like planned out, like the locked door and the no towels in the bathroom and the
what a creep.
Yeah, isn't that the craziest
That's
thing ever?
So weird. I mean, like, to each their own if you're into that, I guess, but you can't just sewer somebody into that.
You can't be putting laxative in people's food and locking the bathroom door causing them to poop themselves. You can't be doing that. You can't be doing that.
Oh, God. It's what nightmares are made of.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I met a real-life snake dad over the weekend, Beckler.
No.
He was a full-out snake dad.
No.
I was chatting with him, and he brought up his 5 snakes. He showed me pictures of them and everything, very affectionately, telling me about their personalities and their names and everything else. Full-out snake dad.
Did he refer to himself as a snake dad?
He didn't call himself a snake dad directly, but it was very clear that he was, as he was discussing them as if they were children. Like, who shows pictures of their snakes? Like, you know, normally you show pictures of your kids in your wallet, and here he is flipping through his pictures of his phone of his snakes. Snake dad.
You and I have talked about a hypothetical snake dad in the past.
This is
We have yet to meet one.
As a plant mom, I mean, I can relate, right? Because I have plants, and I have actually some pictures of my beautiful orchid on my phone, which is embarrassing to admit. I do have names for them, although it's always a bit tongue-in-cheek. For him, I think it was very legitimate, though. So after I met him, he actually added me on Facebook, and then his Facebook post, his last one was, "Out to buy frozen rats. My kids need to eat."
Okay, so that's as good as calling yourself a snake dad.
You might as
well
just call yourself a snake dad at that point, right? Just like full out, he's a snake dad. So
there's a girl that I went to high school with, and she posted over the weekend about her husband's birthday or whatever. She was like, "Happy birthday to this guy who's the best husband and dad to our boys." And I was like, "I don't remember that they had kids."
Oh.
They don't. It was the dogs they were talking about.
Oh, right.
And I was like,
Dog dad. Okay.
Yeah.
Dog mom's dad.
Which is way more common than a snake dad,
yeah,
but
snake
I still don't think it's
rare.
Any less weird to refer to yourself as that.
No, I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, if you call yourself a dog mom, you have to
be okay with
snake
dads
mom.
And spider moms.
Spider moms, yeah. Where does it go? Where does it end?
It doesn't. That's the thing.
Okay.
It just keeps going.
What if I was the mom to the dead rats he gave to his snakes? That's horrifying.
People have pet rats.
I know.
I'm a rat mom. I'm a rat mom.
Oh, right, girl Terry.
A rat mom and
a
snake dad. That's not a relationship that's going to work, is it? If you're a rat mom, you can't marry a snake dad.
No. It would say on your dating profile, like, you know,
incompatible.
Exactly.
The snakes are going to eat the rats. A snake dad, a real life snake dad.
Things are getting complicated.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You probably heard this yesterday, but MySpace Music lost 12 years of their uploads. Did you see that?
No, I didn't hear this.
So there was a botched server migration, I guess, and because of this, over 50 million songs from 14 million different artists were lost forever.
Oh!
I know.
I wonder how many of those artists don't have backups. Like, that was it.
Well, I think probably quite a few. I mean, that was a long time ago. And people used to find music on MySpace.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that used to be a big source of music, is MySpace Music.
Especially for up-and-coming bands.
That's just it. And now it's all lost. All of your old demos, all that is lost.
I remember, like, my band was on MySpace quite early when I was younger. And this is greasy, but it's what you had to do. We had this, like, program that we would run where it would just add friends like crazy.
Oh.
And like a lot of people would realize what was happening. And this is this band trying to add you. But because we were one of the first bands doing it, we got a ton of followers from doing that.
Interesting.
And our plays like shot up pretty high. And then, you know, someone would come and look at our band to see if like to book us to see if we were legitimate or not. And they would see that we have all these friends and all these plays.
Wow.
And they'd be like, oh, okay. Even though it was all fake. It was all inflated, right?
Just for you, I did manage to save one of your band's songs, and I've got it here. So if you just want to just like give everybody a little preview of... This is Beckler's band.
I was 18, and I was just the drummer.
Oh. Oh.
Okay. I'll do. I'll do. Do you want to say a few words about the death of MySpace?
I would, please.
Shauna.
Yeah. We are gathered here today to remember the 12 years of MySpace Music that is now gone forever. All that music from the 6 short-lived bands you were in high school. All the demos from young, hopeful white rappers lost. All the experimental bongo reggae beats, the screamo, the endless garage bands, all are gone.
A lot of screamo.
A lot of screamo.
A lot of screamo.
The world's biggest collection of Wonderwall covers also is no more. And the opportunity to call up old demos and embarrass your best friends.
What a tragedy.
Is gone. Beckler.
Yes.
Do you have a musical interlude for us? If not, I can just call up your band again.
Please don't.
Okay.
Something else.
Later.
But something touched me deep inside the day that my space died.
It's beautiful.
Should I keep going? This is an 8-minute song. Should I sing the whole thing?
Please do.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast for the Calgary Sport and Social Club. Try a new sport this spring and join a league or tournament. Register at calgarysportsclub.com. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.